Three things that need to happen for the Rams to finally snap that seven-game losing streak during the regular season, of course, to the San Francisco 49ers. That's coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. Thanks for making us a part of what you do. You can follow me on Twitter at Travis Rogers. You can see it right there on your screen if you are listening to us on our Locked On Rams YouTube page. That is a great way to check out the podcast as well. Go ahead and subscribe to that while you are doing it. Let me say thank you because today's episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is home security with fast protective technology exclusively from SimpliSafe. 24/7 monitoring agents capture evidence to accurately verify a threat for faster police response. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Visit simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL to learn more. We got a good pod for you today. It's a big game for the Rams coming up on Sunday in week 8 of the NFL season. Got a little grab bag for you coming up at the end. We're going to answer a bunch of quick little questions along the way. Talk a little bit about what Cooper Kupp said about how he believes that all these teams should be playing on grass. That's coming up in just a little bit. Want to give Raheem Morris and his defense a whole bunch of credit. That's coming up before too long as well. But let's get right into this. Let's talk about what needs to go right for the Rams and in order for them to finally snap what is a seven-game regular season losing streak to the San Francisco 49ers. It actually feels even worse than that because the handful of games that the Rams have won during the Niners when the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan era, and they overlap almost perfectly. The times that the Rams have won include a very, very important one during the postseason last year in the NFC Championship game, which was by far the most important game that they've played. That's a good one. And then some games where the Niners were just in the middle of a terrible season along the way. So when it is regular season football, it's important to both teams, and that's exactly what this is on Sunday. The Niners win. They do. And they win kind of the same way. So how do you go about avoiding it for the eighth consecutive time? Jimmy G has been absolutely transcendent against the Rams. Now, I've watched Niner games against teams that are not the Rams, and it is not quite the same thing. Games against non-Rams opponents, he looks like a very mediocre quarterback, a guy that you can get to, a guy that makes bad decisions. But against the Rams, not so much. So here's what needs to happen for the Rams to have a legitimately good chance to win this game. And one of them is a cross your fingers and hope that it goes your way. Debo has not practiced all week, at least not up until this point. When I was talking with Brian Peacock on our crossover episode the other day, he said that he's doubtful for the game. He thinks that there's at least a chance that maybe he won't go. That would be very, very good news for the Rams because they're already adding Christian McCaffrey to the mix. Aaron Donald described him as a headache to game plan against. And McCaffrey is a dynamic player. Now, I don't think he's the second coming of Barry Sanders. I don't think that he's Marshall Faulk. I don't think he's one of these guys that, oh my gosh, what are you going to do with him? But he's good. And we saw him a couple of weeks ago right before the Rams had their bye against Carolina, and he had some nice runs along the way. I don't know if he's the difference between them winning the Super Bowl or not, but, you know, time will tell. If Debo's not there, the Rams' chances go from where they are right now to significantly better because they have had no answer for that dude. He has been awesome. He has been the guy that the Rams just do not have an answer for. The game that they had 3 weeks ago, the 57, I think it was, maybe 56-yard touchdown pass that he caught, where the ball was only thrown about 10 yards in the air. He goes up and just kind of rips it out of the air, breaks a tackle at the point of reception, breaks another tackle, shakes a guy, and the next thing you know, he's around the corner and he's gone along the way. That was a play that Debo makes and maybe one or two other guys in the whole league. It was an extraordinary play. If he's not there, big advantage for the Rams. Number two, get the lead. And I'm not talking about 3-0 like they had a few weeks ago. I'm talking about get up a touchdown. If you can get up more than a touchdown, if you could get up 10 points in this game, it changes everything, right? Because what is the thing that the Rams do really, really well when they have the lead? They get after the quarterback. They can go and turn Aaron Donald loose. They can make Aaron Donald the most dangerous version of himself, which is we don't have to worry about them running it down our throats. We can go pin our ears back and go get Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's number three. Get to Jimmy G. Because the way that they've been killing you is, you know, line it up, look left, look right, snap the ball, ball's out, right? This is not a bunch of 7-step drops, bounce, sitting there waiting for somebody to get open down the field and then letting it rip. This is hike the ball, snap the ball, you know, 1-step drop, 2-step drop, boom, it's out. Hand it to McCaffrey, boom, throw it to McCaffrey, boom, throw it to Debo. Quick, boom, throw it to Kittle. These are not the strength of the Niners team is not to set up the traditional pocket for him and let Jimmy G make a bunch of decisions down the field. If you can get to him, if you can force them into situations where they have to throw the ball, where they have to throw the ball in larger chunks than they've done over the course of their competition with the Rams over the last several years, they can flip the script on him. Because if think about the opposite. If Debo's there, buckle up. Number two, if it's a close game or the Rams are chasing, even if it's only 3 points or so, 3 or 4 points, the Rams have really short drives, right? Even they got 3 and outs. And even when they score, it seems like they happen pretty quickly. The 49ers have those 10-play drives, 12-play drives, 8-play drives. They take off 6 minutes of the clock, 9 minutes of the clock. It was last season where they had a drive that took up almost an entire quarter. The Rams want lots of possessions. The Rams want to do this as quickly and as often as possible. The Niners want the exact opposite of that. So if they have the lead and they know that, look, we just need to get one more point than you, we're willing to let long drives. We'll kick some field goals with Robbie Gould. That is a huge advantage for San Francisco. So that's what they need to do. Cross your fingers that there's no Debo. Get the lead. And if you do have the lead, go get Jimmy G. Put the game in his hands and let him be the guy that determines whether or not San Francisco is going to win. Because if you just let them run the ball, throw short passes, let Debo do his thing, and let Jimmy G look like Joe Montana like he does against the Rams a lot of these times, good luck with that. You're going to get the same result over and over again. You do those other three things, and I think they got a real chance. Okay, coming up next on Locked On Rams, let's talk about that defense that the Rams have had, who's responsible for it, and why the Rams are still alive despite really not having played a complete game all season long. That's coming up next on Locked On Rams. Let me ask you this question. What are the most important things in your world? I'm just going to take a guess because I think it's a universal truth, right? That your home and the safety of your family are incredibly important to you. And of course, they should be, right? This is why Simply Safe needs to be a part of your life. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe's agent call you the moment a threat is detected and dispatch police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home or can't be reached. It's where home is, right? It's where all of your things are, your possessions, the people that are most important to you. Why not keep them as safe as possible? And here's what's so great. With the advanced technology at Simply Safe, you can watch all of this stuff on your phone, crystal clear HD live stream of your security cameras or a wide variety of high-tech sensors. You get an alert, boom, it's right there on your phone. You know right away and you can take the appropriate action. It blankets your home in protection with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door. As I mentioned, the HD security cameras for inside and outside your home, smarter ways to detect motion that only alert you when the threat is real, and even hazard sensors that instantly detect things like fires, floods, and other threats. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. Save 20% off your Simply Safe security system when you sign up for an interactive monitoring plan and get your first month free, right? Visit simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL to learn more. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen today. For your second listen, check out Locked On Sports today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every day. My name is Travis Rogers. You can follow me on Twitter under that handle. It is Rogers Like Dodgers, R-O-D-G-E-R-S. Let's talk about where the Rams are and why they still, despite really not having played a complete football game heading into week 8, which is pretty remarkable to think about, they're still very much in it. First of all, the reason that they're in it, the reason that the Niners are in it, the reason that even the Arizona Cardinals, who are currently in fourth place in the division, are still in it, is because the entire NFC is bad minus Philadelphia. Chicago, or not Chicago, excuse me, I was thinking Chicago's opponent. Dallas, they're a good team. We saw them, really good defense, still not sold on their offense, still not sold on Mike McCarthy. I think the New York Giants are going to have a market correction before too long. And then Green Bay, Tampa Bay, these are obviously teams. The Rams are certainly in that mix as well. The Niners, really nobody has established themselves as a team that you think is particularly good. Minnesota's off to a good start. But the Rams are at 3-3. And with a win on Sunday, fingers crossed and prayers up, they could be 4-3 come Sunday afternoon and in first place in this division without really having played particularly well. Keep in mind, by the time we get to Monday, right? By the time that we get to the middle of next week, it's November. This is no, well, it's early. We're figuring this. It's the half the season is in the books basically, or very, very close to it. And you got a pretty good idea what you are and what the Rams are. Is a defensive first football team. All the credit, you've heard me talk here about how big of a fan I am of Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay is very, very special. And what I mean by that is he's one of those guys, you bring him in the building, he changes culture. That some guys can win and you give them good players, they're going to put together a game plan. Sure, great, that happened. But guys that can come into a place where the culture was not successful, where the culture was, yeah, maybe if we get lucky, we'll win some games. Like there's winning culture in places like Pittsburgh, right? There's winning culture over the last 20 years in a place like New England, obviously. The Rams culture was, I don't know, man. Once the greatest show in turf kind of fell apart and ran its course, they weren't very good. And Jeff Fisher's culture was, we're not, you know, none of this 7-9. And then Sean McVay comes in, changes everything. He shows up and it's like, oh, we're a winning team. We expect to win. We expect to play in primetime games. We expect to go into the playoffs. We expect to win in the playoffs. We're competing for championships. And Sean McVay gets all the credit in the world for that, and he should. Raheem Morris deserves a lot of credit for what this team is happening this year. The offense has not been good full stop. Now, there are reasons for it. The offensive line being the number one reason, Allen Robinson, all the things that we've talked about here on Locked On Rams over the last several months. Matthew Stafford has not played well, but the reason they're still in it, the reason they're 3-3, the reason that I think that they have at least a fighting chance on Sunday against a team that's really given them the business over the years, is because of their defense. And I'm not even just talking about the fact that Aaron Donald is a first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe the greatest defensive player ever. I'm not talking about the fact that Jalen Ramsey is still that guy, right? Remember that question end of last season? Hey, you know, what's going on with Jalen? Did not have a good opening night against the Buffalo Bills. You're thinking, uh-oh, is this the beginning of the next phase? Nope, not with him. Not with him, it's not. He's been terrific along the way. Bobby Wagner has been really good for the Rams. And by the way, he needed to be. They're giving him a lot of money. They need him to be Bobby Wagner, and he has been. But it's everybody. It's this collective defense. It's the scheme that Raheem Morris has put together that's allowed them to stay in games. The reason they beat Carolina wasn't because the offense was great. It's because Carolina couldn't do anything offensively. Now, P.J. Walker didn't help, but that defense was stifling. The reason that they beat Arizona, it's not because all of a sudden the offense clicked and everything looked great. It's because that defense gives Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury fits because they lock him up over and over and over again. The reason they won against Atlanta was because they made some plays at the end to get it done because they made big stops when they had to get big stops. They were really good against Dallas. The only reason that game was a game was because of the defense. If the offense had given them a little bit, maybe they steal that one. Same thing against San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. Niners dominated that game from their defensive standpoint. The Rams offense had nothing going, but it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter for no other reason than the defense was in it. That if Matthew Stafford and the guys on the offensive side could have made a play or two, maybe that goes very differently. It did not, pick six, quite the other way. But you're talking about games against Dallas where there's a blocked punt, where there's a strip and a score. You're talking about San Francisco where there's a pick six. These are the scores look a little bit inflated, but it's not because of what the defense has done. It's because the offense keeps giving points to the other team. They're throwing up nines and 12s and 15s and 17s. That's winning defense. And the only reason that we're still sitting here saying, hey, win here, go to Tampa. Tampa's reeling right now. You got a chance to go in there and win another game against a team that you've had some success against. The reason we're at 3-3 saying, hey, they're still in it is exclusively because of the defense. And Raheem Morris deserves a lot of credit for that, for putting that together. Despite not having a bunch of picks or a bunch of sacks, they don't give up a lot of points, which is a very, very important part of football, if you didn't know that, right? Don't give up points. You got a really good chance to win some of these games. Okay, coming up next, I want to talk about some odds and ends going into the weekend, some things to look for, what's going on in the rest of the NFC West. And Cooper Kupp is jumping on the bandwagon of something that Pete Carroll started a few days ago. That's all next on Locked On Rams. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. It happens to me. I'm assuming it happens to a lot of you because I think it happens to just about everybody where you get stuck on something that is not working in your life. You get stuck on a problem at work. You get stuck on a problem with a relationship or whatever it might be. And you just keep turning over the problem in your mind over and over and over again. What if you could kind of turn that from focusing on the problem to focusing on the solution to the problem? Therapy can help you with that, right? When you learn how to find your own solutions to these problems, there's absolutely no better feeling. I have a lot of people in my life that are going through therapy right now, and it helps a great deal. I see them come out of sessions. I see them dealing with the problems afterwards, and they're in a much better place. Therapy can really take you to a great spot. So if you've ever considered it, BetterHelp is a great way to try to reduce your stress, to feel more confident, to feel just more like yourself, right? So if you're thinking about it, BetterHelp is a great way to do it. It's convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's entirely online. You can do it from home. It's a great option. Get matched with a therapist. You just fill out a brief survey. They're going to match you with a therapist. You can switch therapists if you would like. You can do that at any time. So if you've been considering it and you want to become a better problem solver, therapy can help you get there. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedon today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/lockedon. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. Make sure you click that subscribe button in your podcast feed. Let's talk about a couple of different things here, getting you ready for the San Francisco 49ers coming up on Sunday, week 8 of the NFL season. Cooper Kupp wants to play on grass. Yeah. Pete Carroll kind of brought up a conversation that this goes back to when I was a kid in the 70s, right? And maybe before then. So I know that artificial surfaces come in because you can't go grass inside in Houston in the Astrodome. So they come up with AstroTurf. And now we've had a million different iterations of artificial turf over the years. Fact of the matter is, guys are still getting hurt on this stuff at a rate that seems disproportionate to grass. Now, I don't have the data in front of me, but when Pete Carroll comes out and says, look, we got to think about this, he just lost DK Metcalf. If you go and ask the Chargers with JC Jackson and him going down with a non-contact injury on the turf, I would imagine you might get a similar response there. Cooper Kupp is a guy that takes a ton of contact. He's out there running around and cutting and stopping and jumping and doing all the explosive maneuvers that he needs to do. And he said every single NFL game should be played on grass. It's hard to argue against it, right? I mean, it feels like just common sense, right? Would you rather get tackled on something that has no give, that's easy to snag a cleat in, that seems to drop guys with non-contact injuries at a fairly significant rate, or something that if you can tear a big chunk out of it, if your foot gets stuck in it, when you get tackled on the ground on a grass field, not saying it feels good, but it feels better than getting tackled on the street, which is basically what the turf is along the way. I think if you get enough Pete Carrolls and Cooper Kupps, and it's got to get some momentum going for sure for it to become a thing, then at least maybe there'll be some conversations around. I'm not saying that it's about half. About half the teams in the league have artificial surfaces and half have grass. I don't know if you tear them out because that would be expensive. The idea of having artificial turf is you don't have to maintain it, or at least you don't have to maintain it in the same way that you do a natural surface. But if I'm losing my players because they get a cleat stuck in some plastic, it's a tough pill to swallow. And if I'm hearing Cooper Kupp doesn't say anything, right? Cooper Kupp was mad being at the parade because he couldn't go lift weights and run routes. Or it's certainly what it felt like. Maybe you listen to those guys. If he's willing to speak out about that, then he must feel pretty strongly about it along the way. Some of the trades that you might see coming up between now and Monday. Monday is the NFL trade deadline. If the Broncos get housed in London by the Jags, which is not a far-fetched possibility, despite Russell Wilson doing high knees in the airplane, which reportedly was a thing. By the way, is there anything more Russell Wilson than him doing high knees on a transcontinental flight? I mean, I'm not a Russell Wilson fan. Russell Wilson, the football player in Seattle, huge fan. Loved watching him play because he was dynamic and exciting and fun. Russell Wilson, the high knees guy on the airplane, not as big a fan as that guy. But if they lose, and they might, Bradley Chubb, Jerry Jeudy, some others might shake loose, and all of a sudden, the Rams, we mentioned Bradley Chubb on the pod earlier this week. Maybe they got an opportunity right there to grab some pass rush and make a little run right there, because you may see a full-blown, okay, we're done for the season. Nathaniel Hackett, you're gone. Opportunity for the Rams and some other teams along the way. Maybe some running back help. I heard some rumors about Cleveland maybe being interested in doing something along the way. So keep your eyes peeled. Sean McVay said yesterday, you know, nothing on the horizon at the moment, but with us, you never know, which means buckle up, something may be coming down the pike. As far as the other games in the NFC West, obviously San Francisco's here taking on the Rams. Arizona and Minnesota. Minnesota's off to a really good start, a chance for the kind of, I don't know if you'd say you bury the Cardinals at that point, but they would be in a very, very big hole. And we know that the Rams always handle them pretty well. So that's something to keep your eye on. And then as far as the division leader, Seattle, they're at home up in the Pacific Northwest, but the one loss, I can't believe I'm saying this, the one loss, New York Giants coming to town, they could drop a game, Rams win a game, and here you go. Nothing's gone right all season long. You just beat the 49ers. You're in first place, feeling good going to Tampa with a team that you've beaten a few times over the last couple of years. Who knows? There's a lot of football left. Not as much as there were a month ago, but there's still a lot of football left. So keep your eyes on that whole division and conference along the way. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Thanks for making us your first listen. Now for your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today pod, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.